So I'd like to invite Kirk and Nicole and Tom Maria to come up. Now, Kirk and Nicole, if you haven't met them before, these guys are our national directors. So they also pastor Pine Rivers Vineyard in Brisbane. And they're the national directors of the Vineyard Movement. And they've come down to celebrate with us and to celebrate Tom Maria. So I'm going to hand over to these guys who are going to pray for Tom Maria.
We just consider it a joy and an honour to be invited here today. So thank you for having us in your home. And it's such a joy and an honour to celebrate all of what God has done and is doing with Toe and Maria. And so 10 years, amazing 10 years. Do you want to share anything or can I just keep talking? Were you planning to share?
We'll share.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you want us to pray first?
It's just going to be funny. I thought I would last only 10 days.
Okay. So from 10 days to 10 years, that's pretty amazing. I just think when I look at you two, I see such huge evidence of you spending time at the feet of Jesus and that it's out of your personal walk with him that you have sustained stepping into ministry for 10 years, something that I guess we were talking about it today, that you stepped into sort of unknowingly, that was where God was leading you, and certainly in the deep end, I could say, of the pool, and that the Lord has not only sustained you, but you have flourished in that role. And it's something that they do, as you all know, bivocationally. So they're not only serving and leading in the church here, but they work other jobs as well, which I think is pretty amazing. And the Lord has given you great capacity and he's given you great love in your hearts for people, and that's been so evident over the 10 years. So we've had a wonderful journey with Toe and Maria. Firstly, as local church pastors together, and then now as the national directors. And it's just been wonderful to watch and see the ministry that has developed through the work of your hands and you saying yes to Jesus, and seeing many, many lives changed, and seeing this fellowship grow and be fruitful, seeing a lot of the young people grow up and just absolutely flourishing in Jesus. And that is, a part of that is you leading them and pastoring them and calling them on in the things of Jesus and his kingdom. So we want to honour you today and pray a prayer of thanksgiving before Jesus for the two of you. Okay, all right. Yeah, great. Father, what an honour and a privilege it is to esteem these two to you today. God, we give you thanks for your calling upon their lives, first to be in love with you, Jesus, and then secondly to give their lives over to your calling, to your purposes, to your plans. And Lord, they have just simply said yes each and every time, and you've been so honored by their obedience and by their devotion to you. So we give you thanks, Lord, for Toe and Maria, for their pastoral hearts, for their love, for the people that you send, God. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. And we say thank you, Lord, for sustaining them, for increasing their capacity when they've needed it, Lord. Even when times have been tough, Lord, they have just kept their eyes fixed on you, Jesus. And you have just filled them and filled them and filled them and empowered them. And we just want to give thanks, Lord, for the blessing that they've been both to Marion Vineyard and beyond Marion Vineyard, to the wider church, to the local community, wherever they find themselves, Lord, in vocation, Lord, they are bringing the message of Jesus, and they are bringing the kingdom, Lord, and we give you thanks for that. And we celebrate with them 10 years. That's no small milestone. But it's been hearts surrendered to you, Jesus. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that today you would fill them again. You would fill them again. May they know the depth and width and breadth of your love for them today. May they be assured again of your equipping and empowering. And may you just give them, sustain them for the next, I won't say 10 years, but however long that the Lord is calling you to ministry and continuing to pastor, we know that he's going to equip you and give you even more than you ever thought possible. So we bless them, Lord, with every good and perfect thing that's from your heart for Toe and Maria.
So Heavenly Father, we again esteem them to you this afternoon. And I mean, we're kind of doing this, you guys get to do this with these guys every day of the week. This you get to walk with this amazing couple. And so, Lord, we all just lift them up into your good presence. And we ask for the countenance of your gaze, your grace, your authority, your love and power just to flow down over their lives again. For every part that feels parched, we pray a fresh infilling. For where the fire needs to be increase the fire. Where the intimacy needs to grow again, let it grow, Lord. And the joy, Lord, the joy of following Jesus as King. Let it just manifest in their lives in this next season, even more. And we, in the name of Jesus, and with this peculiar fellowship, this tribe, this people called the Vineyard in the earth that the Lord has birthed, and the peculiar grace that rests upon us and flows through us as a part of the body of Jesus, we just ask for a fresh impartation right now of that spiritual inheritance and DNA, that it would fill you again and refire you again with the power of the Holy Spirit to just be on about the work of the message and the ministry of Jesus and equipping the saints to do the work of the kingdom. We bless you guys. We just esteem you and say, Lord, thank you for them. They're awesome. They're amazing. They're inspiring, Lord. And we love them greatly. And we ask that, Lord, your goodness would rest upon them. In increasing measure, we ask it. For your greater glory, Jesus, we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen.
Just want to make the most of this opportunity that we come nothing of ourselves, but we do give just all the glory to God and thankfulness for his goodness. We just keep doing our best to follow his call. But we are thankful for you guys and just the joy it is to journey with you. We love you dearly. You are in our hearts. And as I was reading Philippians chapter 1, it so resonated with our hearts today. And so I just wanted to read that and that we might just pray into that for us all this afternoon. We thank our God every time that we remember you in all of our prayers for all of you. We always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in all of us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And it's right for us to feel this way about all of you, since we have you in our hearts. And all of us share in God's grace together. God can testify how we long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is our prayer. That our love, your love and our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And so we thank you, Lord, that it is you that calls and equips all of us, that it is you that fills us with your very presence, that we may be built into a spiritual temple, Lord, all together, everyone playing their part. And Lord, as we celebrate this milestone today, we are celebrating your goodness and your faithfulness, that you are real, that you are with us, that you lead us, that you reveal yourself to us time and time again, and constantly reassure us that you are truly our God and we truly are your people. And so we keep saying to you, God, come, come again, come today, Lord, because we keep humbling our knee before you, because it's only you, Jesus, that we want to please with all of our hearts and all of our lives here in this place. So come, Lord, we give you thanks today.
So, Father, we ask again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon us here and always. May we always know the agape, abundant love of our Abba Father that is for us and with us. And we pray again, Lord, may we continuously know the sweet communion partnership of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ and witness for Christ in our days. In Jesus' name. So, we have Captain Kurt with us to bring a word. So, welcome, Captain Kurt.
I think we've got it there. Awesome. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Hey, can I just say thank you for doing church on a Sunday afternoon? I haven't been able to do a slow Sunday morning in about 10 years. So you guys are a gift to us. Thank you. Hey, what a blessing, though, that, you know, another part of the body of Jesus has just welcomed you to be able to fellowship in this building together. I mean, Lord, we ask for your continued favor and blessing on City Reach. Yeah, Lord, bless them. Oh, wonderful. Great to meet you. Thank you. Bless you guys. Thank you so much for your generosity in making room in your hearts with Christ to welcome another part of his body and his people, you know, to be able to gather and then fellowship in his presence and take that good news into this greater region. Thanks so much. You're a blessing. You're an incredible blessing. For those of you who I have not met before, I just want to say that on behalf of Nicole and I, we count it a real joy to be with you today. For those of you who we have met along the way, it's great to see you again. And it's our joy and a privilege just to share a few thoughts with you this afternoon. Before we get too far into this, if you do have your Bible with you, or you've got your favorite Bible app, you might want to get it ready at Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to dig in there in a minute. But before we do that, I also am sharing this afternoon from a little bit of a perspective that is, while this could apply to anyone that's here that belongs to another local church, I'm also going to be using a little bit of language and focus to my Vineyard family that's in the room, because I don't often get to speak in this way, in this context. And so this message is kind of like, hey, Vineyard, this is for you, and for anyone else that wants to glean from that, you're super welcome. So there'll be a little bit of family conversation taking place here today. I do want to take opportunity today to share with you a little bit about what we believe is on God's heart for us as a movement of churches, as a family of churches across the country. Right now, there's a number of established churches. There's new church planting initiatives that are taking place around the country, in Tasmania, in Toowoomba, in far north Queensland. There's new church planters that are coming on board and getting ready to plant even more churches in the next few years that are all of a sudden entering into that following Jesus into that calling. And we just see that there's a great sense of joy and fruit that the Lord is wanting to see multiplied beyond where we are, that there would be a greater expansion of his kingdom. There would be more and more people meet Jesus in a personal relationship, that we see him as their Lord and their King, and that we would see groups multiply and churches multiply. And I do want to just say this up front. One of the things that when we hear something like that, we often put up disqualifications in our heart and our head where we go, well, leading someone to Jesus, I'm not an evangelist. No, but you are a friend of God. Our church is too small to even think about or dream about multiplying and planting another church. No. Most of these churches that are in the book that we hold so dear were very small groups of people that just got enamored with and caught up in the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, that saw more and more and more of them, groups established all over the then known world and even today, continuing to grow. And did you know that as a Vineyard Church, you are part of a fellowship of churches that now is planting in over 100 nations around the world, and that I forget the number. I want to say it's pushing close to, I'm looking at Nicole here for some help, it's pushing closer to 3,000 local Vineyard churches now in 100 different nations and growing. And I say, you're a part of a story where God's heart is wanting to grow and multiply as people meet Jesus and churches are established. And we firmly believe that God is also inviting us here in our context, here in Australia, to see his kingdom come and churches grow and multiply and loads of people meet Jesus. We firmly believe that God has placed a vision in our heart and by the Holy Spirit that would see our family of churches lean into God's huge invitation that is well beyond our capacity, no doubt, well beyond our capacity, and yet it's within the reach of his generosity and love and authority to see many people coming to a saving relationship with Jesus, see all of the small groups that we're a part of grow and multiply because the lounge room won't fit them anymore, and see local churches just like the Marion Vineyard multiply and see another local church planted. We want to share a little bit of that with you this afternoon. If I could jump onto the next slide, thanks, Leisha. So, Tisha. Got it. Sorry, mate. Nearly Tisha. Thank you for your grace towards me. Hey, look, just to give you a little bit of an idea, I just want to put some picture and words in front of you that help maybe paint a picture of what we see and what we hear when we pray and we say, God, what is it that's on your heart for us as a people? And when I say we, I'm not just talking about Nicole and I'm talking about this little group of that works together called the Board of Vineyard Churches Australia, which is representative of a number of different people. And when we come together and we pray, this is what we see and this is what we hear as the Holy Spirit reveals to us what's on the Father's heart. The first thing we see is a picture of spot fires all over the country, just little fires, random little spot fires all over the country, some in everyday neighbourhoods of suburbia, some in regional far places, far away with just small towns and small groups of people, to big cities and everything in between. But there just seems to be this randomness about God is just setting little spot fires of people to come alive to Jesus all over the country. And as we see that when we pray, we pray into that. And in that process, it's as if the Lord gives us like a little bit of a high view, and then he sort of zeroes in on one of the little fires as we're praying, so we can see what's happening around these fires and what does it look like, what's going on. And as we pray, we see people gathering around these fires and these small fires, and it's as if they're coming out of the darkness and in towards this little gathering around these lights, the light that's coming from these little fires of God's presence. And one of the things that have you ever been camping and you do a little night, a little bonfire at night time, and particularly if you're out in the bush and there's no light pollution and the sky is just brilliantly clear, and you can see the reach of the fire has a sense of proximity to it. It's like you can see to a certain point, and then from that point on it starts to get a little bit darker and dark, and then it becomes very dark. And as we pray, it's like we're seeing people coming out of the dark and into the sort of the semi-light area, and then they're coming up close and they're gathering around the fire. And then they spend time together around this fire, and then they get up and they go again and they go back out into the dark. And as we're praying about that, we say, Lord, what's going on here? And the Lord helps give us a little bit of focus, and he shows us in particularly these two things as people are gathering. He's focused our attention on their mouth, the mouth of all of these people as they're sitting around the fire. It's like there's something in their mouth that needs to be said. It's like there's some kind of message or words or story that needs to be released and spoken. And at the same time, the Lord draws our attention to their hands. It's as if their hands have got some sort of tools in them or resource in them that goes along with the actioning of the message that's filling their mouth. And I know this sort of sounds all very kind of perhaps a little visionary and possibly mystic, but we sincerely believe it's an invitation from the Holy Spirit to follow in the heart of God in what he's wanting to do through us as a people in the vineyard, to see his kingdom multiplied and people equipped with the message and the ministry of Jesus to be taken back out into all parts of the country and even well beyond our country. So if you've got your Bible with you, why don't we open it up to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read together from verse 3 and through to 23. We're going to read a bit of a chunk of it here. And so this is Paul writing this letter, and he's writing it to a fledgling church planter. His name's Epaphras, and Epaphras is establishing a new fellowship of believers, and Paul's writing to exhort him and encourage him and help him along the way. So Colossians 1 verse 3. I don't think I have that on my slides, do I, Tisha? Yeah, no, we don't have it. That's okay. Thank you. So maybe just grab your Bible. It won't be on the screen. Paul writes, you know, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of God's people. The faith and the love that spring from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who's also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you, and we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all of the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all of creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwelling in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God. You were enemies in your minds and because of your evil behavior. But now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope that is held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Such a great piece of writing. You can spend weeks in that one. But we're today just going to draw out just a few of the encouragements that Paul has sent to this fledgling church through the servant Epaphras, that I think will help us follow God into what he's asking us to do as a local church here at Marion Vineyard, participating in seeing God's kingdom continue to grow and bear fruit all around the world, even as it is among us bearing fruit right here at Marion. So let's go to the next slide. Thanks, Tisha. So the first things I want to pick up on here is that Paul is encouraging Epaphras, and he says that this in verse 9 and 10 there. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. And our prayer is this: we continually ask God to fill you." That's a wonderful prayer, to be praying for your local church and for each other. This is the prayer that Paul is praying for the church. Lord, fill them with your spirit. And just when they think they've had enough of the filling of your spirit, fill them again, Lord. I love that word, continually. It's not a one-time event to be filled with the spirit. For Paul, he's clearly encouraging, if you're going to make the journey of the kingdom life, if you're going to participate in this fruit-bearing, fruit-multiplying activity of seeing people come into relationship with Jesus as King and see these little communities, these little fires established all over the place, we are going to need to be filled with the Spirit again and again and again. I'm not sure when the last time was that you prayed that prayer, "Fill me again, Holy Spirit." When was the last time we prayed that? "Fill me again, Lord. Fill me again, Lord. I need your Holy Spirit to help me." And Paul talks there about all of the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of God that comes with the infilling work of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just a phenomena of the power of the age to come breaking in on a physical body, on a life. It's the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God that gets released and birthed into us so that we can navigate exactly where Jesus has asked us to live, exactly where he's led you to, so that your feet are here in this local church. We need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, only by the power of the Holy Spirit. If, as we believe, God is inviting us into this journey of seeing his love multiplied through our personal lives and through our life together and through our life as a family of churches into the nation and beyond, we're going to need to and lean into his plan to see his love multiplied. We are needing the Holy Spirit. We are needing the Holy Spirit. Nicole and I have been in local church ministry life for 30-something years now. We've had a lot of great ideas, but at the end of the day, we find ourselves postured in prayer saying, oh God, fill us again. We need you. We need the wisdom and understanding and power of your Spirit. Fill us again, Holy Spirit. When was the last time you prayed that prayer that Paul is saying, come, Holy Spirit, fill me again? When was the last time we did that together as a fellowship of believers? Took the time. I mean, it was a beautiful setup. Thanks, Holly, this afternoon. You set us up just beautiful. Come fill this place. We're hungry for you. We long for you. Sometimes I wonder if we know the words we're actually singing to God, what we're inviting him to do through those simple words and those simple songs. We're asking for this filling of the very Spirit of God, the one who is the power that rose Christ from the dead. We're asking him to come and fill us again for the journey of the kingdom and the adventure that God's calling us into. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our lives. Take us beyond our best thinking, our level of risk, and take us into the great adventure of your kingdom. Okay, next one. Thanks, Tisha. When we say love, we mean Jesus. A little bit further on, I didn't take the time to keep reading here, but a little bit further on in verse 28, Paul says this. He says, Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we can present every single person as a mature person in Jesus Christ. And it's to that end that I strenuously contend with all of the energy of Jesus that so powerfully is at work in me. There's a lot of contested conversation today about what is the nature of love. There's a lot of philosophy. There's a lot of activism. There's a whole bunch of opinion that's wanting to have a say about what the nature of love is. And for Paul, he's quite passionately here saying to the people of Jesus that when he says love, he means Jesus. Jesus is the one we're proclaiming. In this age, that's so countercultural. In other words, what we're saying is we're going to choose to trust that Jesus is the definition of what love is, both to me and through me and for the sake of the world. We're going to risk living into growing up into the maturity of Christ that we might look like the love of God. God, we all would say, is love. And Paul earlier, as I said, as I read out his letter to Epaphras, he was saying that God was pleased to have all of his fullness revealed in Jesus. So if you want to get a good idea on what God's love looks like, you want to have an experience of what the love of God is, if you want to have your life transformed by the love of God, what you're saying is, all right, Jesus, it's you and me. Let's go. Shape me. Bring me alive. Make me more like you. Give me your wisdom. Show me how to love like you love. Define my life by your lordship. We're asking Jesus to be king. And Paul said it like that. He's saying Jesus is the one we proclaim. All those people gathering around the little fire, as we think that the Lord is filling the mouth of everyone that hangs out in the vineyard all around the country, and the fires that He's starting and the church plants that are coming, He's filling our mouths with a message of love, and that love is the proclamation of Jesus is King. It's a simple message. It's a countercultural message. It's a message that others will argue and push back on, and that's okay. There's room for all of that to push and pull. No trouble with that at all. But for Paul, at the end of the day, he says, love is Jesus. He's the one we proclaim. He's the one that we're wanting to grow up everybody into. Jesus is the representation of God in His fullness to us. And yet at the same time, Jesus, this is the mystery of God, Jesus in His humanity is the representation of what a human being looks like fully alive to God. He's the one we proclaim. For Paul, for me, and my hope is that for everyone that would want to be a part of the Vineyard family of churches, both here in this country and beyond and across the world, we would just be settled in our heart that when we say love, we proclaim Jesus. We proclaim Jesus. If we could jump onto the next slide, thanks. There's a guy by the name of Glenn Harrison. He's written a fantastic book called A Better Story, God, Sex, and Human Flourishing. And he says this. He says, we flourish as human beings when we work with rather than against the grain of God's reality. God welcomes humankind into a reality that both speaks of His glory and points to ways of life that please Him. And when we adopt the psychological posture of a creature and work in harmony with God's reality, we are on a road to becoming more fully human. And so the road to human flourishing and to God's glory is to work with the grain of God's reality and not try to manufacture a reality of our own. We are simply a people who are given over to proclaiming that Jesus is the definition of God and God is love. It is Him that we seek to see multiplied into every sector of the human experience. As Jesus' people, we're living out our conviction and our experience that we believe Jesus is a love than any other love that people want to build, define, or shape in their own image. He is a story, He is an adventure, He is a King that only He is the only one that truly brings us alive and invites us into something that we is well beyond our own ability to author or shape. We also believe that Jesus is a love that when discovered, and when the one that we actually discovered when we tripped over His good presence in the field that day as the pearl of great price, we also believe He's the one who's worth liquidating all of our assets for to be able to have the pearl of great price. Jesus is Lord. When we say love, we mean Jesus. Can we just jump onto the next slide? Thanks, Tisha. You know, it's interesting. No doubt all of this is going on, and Paul talks about it here in the context of a great spiritual contest. There are kingdoms and powers and authorities that are colliding both over people's lives and in the spiritual atmosphere in which we find ourselves, and also deep within the heart of human beings like you and me. There's this great spiritual contest taking place where the kingdom of God is seeking to set people free. And Paul said it there in Colossians 1:13, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son, that is Jesus whom He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Praise God for His goodness and His kindness that He would, you know, establish a new covenant through the blood of Jesus that we've shared together today and so beautifully facilitated. Thanks, Simon. So beautifully facilitated. That God would see fit to call us by name out from underneath the rule and reign of the kingdom of darkness and bring us into the Son whom God loves. the kingdom of God. What is our great spiritual contest today? Well, I would just want to suggest that it's the same spiritual contest that Paul was dealing with in his day. There is nothing new under the sun. It just gets rebadged every generation in a different way. But for Paul, I think he was contending with what we would call Gnosticism. And that's a lofty kind of word. But it simply means Gnosticism is one, a conviction and a worldview that comes through a sense of special knowledge. And if there was one thing that Paul, in all of his letters in the New Testament, he's constantly fighting against and working to see deconstructed out of the body of Jesus, because it keeps wanting to find its way in there, Paul keeps going after this thing called special knowledge or special revelation or my truth as opposed to any other truth. He's saying, no, folks, all of that has been given away and overcome and broken in the lordship of Jesus Christ as the manifestation of the love of God. The idea that today that Gnosticism, it kind of looks like this, not just special knowledge, but you'll hear expressions in our culture and in our time where we say things to ourselves and the narrative sounds like this: I need to speak my truth, or I must be true to myself. Or you will even see people making choices that and the reason why we fall into I must be true to myself, or I need to speak my truth as Lord in my life, as opposed to Jesus being true, is that Gnosticism with it forces people to turn inwardly. The powers associated with it turn you internally because you can't trust anything out here. Everything out here is broken and tainted and evil and untrustworthy. And not only just beyond ourselves, even our own flesh, we can't trust that to tell us who we are either. And so we have to go deeper within. And unfortunately, I think one of the great travesties of the outworking of that Gnostic spirit and dynamic in the world today is that people can live with such ambivalence between who they think they are in here and yet have to feel like they need to augment their actual body to come into alignment with that. This is the tragedy that Jesus has come to save us from and set us free, that we might be truly loved by God and be able to love God and others in return. If we could just jump onto the next slide, thanks. Carl Truman, he's written a book called Strange New World, and you can actually look up Carl on YouTube or grab one of his books. He's a good thinker, and I'm pretty sure he's either a Lutheran or a Presbyterian guy. I can't quite remember, but great thinker. And he writes this: in short, the modern self is one where authenticity is achieved by acting outwardly in accordance with one's inner feelings. And this notion is now deep in modern culture and helps to explain a host of interesting phenomena. For example, the increasing social sensitivity to criticize anyone for their personal lifestyle choice. It reflects a view of a world where each person is free to perform life in whatever way they choose, and any attempt to express disapproval is therefore a blow not simply against a particular way of behaving, but against the right of that person to be whoever they wish to be. Indeed, we might even say that the very notion of personal lifestyle choice is a symptom of a society where expressive individualism is the normative way of thinking about self and its place in the world. There's some pretty, I think he's onto something. I think Carl is seeing something and holding a mirror up and saying, have a think about this, people. Paul encourages the new community of Jesus and his people to keep on partnering with Jesus as the expression of God's love fully revealed, of seeing people come free from all forms of spiritual oppression and darkness and the elemental forces that are at work seeking to bind and hold and contain and cripple anything or anyone along the way. Paul is clearly saying that the kingdom message, the message of hope, it's Jesus who brings light, who brings rescue, who brings forgiveness, who brings redemption, and brings human life. This is the new way of living that, rescued by God's love in the person of Jesus, why it was so radical then and why it's still radical now. For Paul, Jesus brings us free from every spiritual form of empowered Gnosticism to invite us to live a different way, to live a life as a human being on the terms of Jesus. The kind of human beings who, like Jesus, are a kingdom of priests in the world, bringing the good news of the message of God that sets people free as only God can in this world where darkness and sin and brokenness hold people captive. And it's the same time, it's this kind of people who, like Jesus as a priestly people, bring all of the praises of creation and bring it back to God and say thank you. Today, my question is this: to ask, where are we seeing people stepping into the better story of Jesus as King? Where are you in your day-to-day living, coming and going? Where are you seeing Jesus coming into the better, the people coming into the better story of Jesus, of God's love? Is it in your families? Is it in our workplaces? In our universities? In our local neighborhoods with our neighbors? Where? Last slide. Thanks, Tisha. Let's just finish here. Oh, sorry. Next one. What's it going to take? Yep. What's it going to take for us to see God's love multiplied? I think Paul has already said it best when he said we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. But there's an author here by the name of Kirk Kirkland in his book Courageous Leadership, and he writes this. He says, as I read the New Testament, the normal Christian life is described above all as a life of adventure. The trust relationship between the Christian and her God was so central, so dynamic, and so pervasive that she was flung by her faith into a way of life that was exciting, surprising, and maturity producing. The New Testament church leaders, and I've just put in brackets there, Jesus people, modeled a way of life that was characterized by bold risk, deep sacrifice, and honest trust. Bold risk. When was the last time you followed Jesus into an uncomfortable moment for the sake of his love reaching another? Bold risk. When was the last time that we trusted Jesus with his will for our life and the choices we're making? Deep sacrifice, even as we follow Jesus as our Lord, who gave his life for the sake of the world. And even as Paul, as he writes this to Epaphras, even as he speaks to us now, he wrote that from prison. Deep sacrifice. Are we prepared to even be uncomfortable in the opinions of others for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of them meeting Jesus? Honest trust. Where are those places and those spaces where God is asking you to follow him as he is rescuing the world out from the dominion of darkness? Where are we going to, where are we having to trust God as he's calling us to follow him? Next slide, thanks, Tisha. I think that's the kingdom life. You know, friends, I just want to say it's an absolute treat to be here with you guys. You're a wonderful local church, and we're so thankful that you're a part of the story of God's kingdom multiplying through the Vineyard family of churches, both in this country and beyond this country. We're here to say today, thank you. Thank you. And we want to encourage you to continue to be bold in your risking, be deep in your sacrifice, and honestly trust God and each other for the adventure that we're on as we follow Jesus as King. Last slide, thanks, Tisha. The little spot fires, where we began. When we pray, this is what we see. This is what we hear. This is what God's inviting, we believe, us as a peculiar family of churches to follow him into that, like I said at the beginning, is well beyond our capacities and yet well within the reach of the generosity of God. I'm just going to invite Nicole. She's going to come up here and we're just going to pray together for a little bit and ask the Holy Spirit to kind of just land some of that stuff for us. There was a lot in all of that. And I'm sure God was sort of having some unique conversations with each of us in all of that as we opened ourselves up to his word through Paul's letter to Epaphras in the local church, even as he's speaking to us today. So would you stand with me? Would you stand and we just invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us? Just invite you to be sincere and real with yourself and with God in a moment like this. We're asking that God would literally, as we sang, come and fill this place. As we sang that simple words and that simple song to God, it's like, God, would you come? So right now we ask, Father, and we join with the encouragement and the exhortation of Paul to the local church at Colossae, where he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I just invite you now, posture yourself to receive. Let your heart be filled now as the Spirit of the Lord comes, as the Spirit of the Lord comes with power, with comfort, with healing, with words that your heart has longed to hear. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We just wait. We wait. We wait. We're not in a rush here, Lord. I pray that you would turn up the volume on the conversation you're having with each of us right now, please, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. More, please, Lord, fill us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of the Lord fill you now. Let the Lordship of Christ grow in your heart in this moment. Let the power of God and the Holy Spirit begin to transform your life with all wisdom and understanding that can only come from the Spirit of the living God. Come, Spirit of God, let the phenomena of your presence invade our lives, we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And that's quite evident. There's a number of you here who are experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit touching your lives. Just welcome him. Say, Lord, here I am. Fill me more for this great adventure of seeing your kingdom come. Fill me more, Lord. More, Lord. Let the power of God increase in this room. Thank you, Lord. More. Kurara masi parara dea mono supara. All glory to you, God. We worship you in this moment. We just describe all glory and power and greatness unto you and power, Lord. It's all you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Now, there's a number of us here in the room today. I feel a sense that there was a fresh invitation for you today as you were hearing this. For some of us in this room, there was an invitation to, you know, I need to give my life over to the Lordship of Jesus, to let the love of Jesus be the one who defines my life and authors my day, that Jesus would be Lord. And so we want to give room for that. We want to give space for people to go, you know, I want what Paul's talking about and what that guy up the front's talking about. I want that Jesus to come and meet with me and change my life. If that's for you, like, would you be like super bold and courageous and just kind of like put your hand up right where you are? I want this Jesus to come and be my Lord and my King. Whether that might be like the 100th time you've prayed that, but today particularly it might be the first. It's like, yeah, I've kind of watched you from afar, Jesus, but now he's coming up close and personal and you want him to be King. Just pop your hand up. Just pop your hand up. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Those of you with your hands up, just close your eyes right now. I'm just going to ask that Jesus would come and just meet with you particularly. Father, I thank you for those hands that are in the air right now, for those people who are saying, Jesus, I want you to be my King and my Lord. I want you to be my God and the author of my life. And I thank you that you rescue me out from underneath all of the powers of darkness and you bring me in now into the generosity of your Son, Jesus. And so I just want to say to those of you who have placed your hands up and welcoming Jesus as Lordship and love to define your life, I just want to say you are now set free. You are free from everything that held and bound and constrained you in both the spirit and the natural. You are washed clean of all of the sin and the junk that's kind of tried to keep directing your life. That's all washed away now. And you and every accusing voice, you've just been set free from it. And there's one voice now. One voice, and it's the voice of God's love through Jesus. His voice and his voice alone. We bless you to know his voice. We bless you to know his voice as it leads you in every day and in every moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I also want to just say, for those of you put your hand up, would you, before you go today, would you please either see Toe or Maria or one of the team here just to check in with them and say, you know what, I put my hand up today. So they can journey with you and just encourage you in that journey of relationship with Jesus as Lord. Would you do that for us? That would be so great. We'd be so grateful if you would. But I also want to say there's an invitation for some of us here today who, it's like, you know, at the end of that previous slide, it was bold risk, deep sacrifice, honest trust. And you are hearing the invitation of Jesus in that. Say, that's for me. I want to step into that place with God. Would you be, if that's you, we want to ask that the Lord would particularly empower you in that today. If that's you, would you maybe just come on out of your chairs a little bit and maybe come down the front here a little bit, because we want to pray with you and bless you in that decision today. Maybe just feel free to come down here along the front here. We want to pray and bless that sense of invitation that you're hearing from God to a life of the kingdom. Bold risk, deep sacrifice and honest trust. That's where you want to live in that space with Christ. Just come on down the front. That's it. Yep. Come on down, guys. Come on down. It's great. You know, this is just what we do. It's nothing superstitious or anything. We're just trying to get practical about moving people around in a room so we can do stuff together and pray with each other. That's really good. Now, for those of you who are out the front, would you just close your eyes? And I'm just going to pray for you. But, you know, there might be a bunch of us here in the room that would like to come and bless what God's doing with those that are standing out the front. You might like to come and just gently put your hand to what God's doing and ask him to bless them today as they're choosing bold risk, in following Jesus, honest trust and steep sacrifice. Just come and begin to pray with them. Just ask God, what's on your heart for them? And pray that and bless that. Partner with God's heart for them. And in particular, ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Just a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the sense of invitation that people are just responding to today and saying, God, I want to be a part of this kingdom adventure where you, God, are the author and king, and I want to be a part of it where my hands are filled with the tools of your kingdom and my mouth is overflowing with the message of King Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom at hand, that people would be set free and saved and come into your good kingdom and out from underneath the powers of darkness, and you would set people free. Lord, I want to be a part of that. Come now, Holy Spirit, empower them, I pray. Let the empowering presence of God fill your bodies, fill your minds, energize your days. Even as Paul said, he is energized by Christ. So would you be energized by Christ. And the wisdom of the Spirit of God and the understandings that only can come from him to be able to navigate the very place he's put you, you would be filled with all of that by the grace and the goodness of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come, fill your people. Empower them now, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Holly's going to just come and she's going to play some worship music over the top of us, but I think... You know, if there's some other folk here today that would like prayer before they go, be it for physical healing. Jesus loves to heal. And so feel free to make sure you grab someone and say, hey, can you pray with me that Jesus might heal me today? God's kingdom is at hand. His kingdom is at hand, and we love to pray for that. So, Toe.
So as we allow time for ministry, where we share, for those who want to move to the couple room, you're allowed to. So the service is pretty much this close. And if you can hang around, I can see a few new faces. Welcome. Would love to connect and just share a bit about what we do. And again, thank you, City Reach Eldership, for coming. All right. If you want any explanation what we're doing, I'm quite happy to just explain. As we see in the Bible, how different people practice. So, yeah. So the service is closed. You are free to go if you want to. And if you want to hang around, we love you too. All right. God bless you. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you. And may you enjoy the abundant love of our Father wherever you are. And may you journey and walk well with the Holy Spirit. God bless you.